Okay, let's be honest. Let's not lie to one another, okay? When the Lord says that you personally, you Rhonda, you Ruth, you Matt, you Kim, you Derek, you Joe, that's a great name, by the way. When you are truly beautiful. Is that just hard to accept? Would you be honest? That's just hard for you to truly accept that you are beautiful, that you are lovely in His sight. Is that hard? Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Thank you. It is tough, and I pray that we truly have eyes to see like Jesus sees. So often we look at the outward actions human nature, and specifically fallen human nature, has the tendency to always see the negative. Always see the bad. Always see what's lacking, what's needed. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe we did something or we said something we shouldn't have, and or we just see that we have a repeated pattern. Maybe we struggle with a particular hang-up or a particular sin and seem like we can't get victory over that. And so we look in the mirror and we think of me, us, I. We don't see the beauty that God sees in us. Has that got any resemblance of truth there? That's the one of the great benefits that the Lord has, which He has many, is He's able to distinguish the person and separate the person from the person's action. And therefore see the creation and the beauty in the individual that He has created and put His nature, His spirit on the inside of as a reflection of Him, of who He is. And see, we need to have that spiritual sight and understanding. The Bible says we are to recognize no man by the flesh any longer, including yourself. We are to recognize no one. So when I look, I'm not to recognize myself by the flesh, that which is opposite or opposed to God, actions, words. See, if we always see the negative in ourselves, that is a complete hindrance to ever overcoming and be who God has really called us to be. It's a hindrance to our transformation process. We are hindering ourselves by always seeing the bad, the negative, what I got to work on, what I got to work on, what I got to overcome. See, the Lord, when He calls us into like His holiness and His righteousness, it's not a matter of stopping doing these other things. It's all of a matter of start going this direction, living this way. And we fight so much about against the sins, the hang-ups, the habits, to stop, 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 when really, let's just replace and start doing this. See, there's no vacuums, really, in our life, in our spiritual life. You know what I mean by that? There's no empty places. It will be filled with something. Is this making sense? I was led to this scripture this morning, and I'll just read it. It's 1 Corinthians 2:14. A natural man, one who is not spiritual, has not been born again. This also could be related to even one who is born again, but is very natural, thinks naturally, thinks fleshly. A natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually, that man is spiritually appraised, spiritually judged. When we talk about spiritual things, when we talk about the ecclesia, when we talk about transformation, city transformation, transforming nations, these are spiritual concepts that to the natural man and the man that thinks naturally cannot grasp. Here's a great Old Testament scripture. It's Jeremiah 29:7. It says, "Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper." That's just a different way of thinking. See, it is so critical that we change the way we think. Do you know how you think is one of the reasons why you feel the way you feel? See, we want to change the way you're feeling. You want to change your emotions. It's not about taking a happy pill to change your emotions. It's about changing the way you think and line it up according to the way God thinks. Seek the peace and prosperity. You know what word there is in the Hebrew? It's seek the shalom. Seek the shalom of the city. Pray to the Lord, because if it prospers, if it has shalom, you're going to have shalom. What do? It's about me, man. I want shalom. I want peace. I want prosperity. I want the health. The heck with the city. Right? Hasn't that been our mindset for the most? Because shalom does mean peace, prosperity, health, completeness, wholeness. It's a big word. It's filled with much. The first step, I believe, to truly becoming the ecclesia and seeing our city, our neighborhoods transformed, the first step to that is personal transformation. It's personal transformation. It's us personally becoming transformed. Now, transformation's a process. When we get born again, it's instant. But the process of sanctification, the process of being like Christ in character, where our conduct and our speech lines up with Christ-likeness, is a process. Each day, we are to become more and more like Christ. And you know, that's the same transformation process that cities and nations are to take. That every day, every week, every month, every year, they are to transform, to become more and more. And at the end, the nations of the earth shall be the nation, become the nations of our God. It's a transformation. It's not an instant thing, a transformation. But the first step is personal transformation. You know, as the body of Christ, truly, we've lost a big part of our moral authority in this nation. It is a fact now that divorce is higher. There's a higher rate of divorce within the body of Christ, the church, than there is outside. I forgot exactly now. It's somewhere, I think, between 20 and 25% of all abortions in our nation are by people that are in the church. How can we stand and say abortion's wrong? How can we take stand for marriage? How can we take a stand against, you know, there are lesbian and homosexual ministers in denominations, and that's infiltrated. There's churches that are just lesbian and homosexuality that is geared for that. Not to get them free, but so they can come. Not to get them delivered, born again, but they can continue to practice that lifestyle. How can we say that marriage is between one man and one man, one woman anymore? I just want to show just the reality of it. I mean, we can pray, obviously. We can continue being the ecclesia and legislate some of these things, but we've got to, on a personal level, we have to transform. We have to become more and more like Christ. And show the goodness, not that, oh, this is bad and that's wrong and you need to stop that, but no, here's who God is, a God of love and holiness and purity and beauty, and he just loves you. See, love is what transforms us personally, and it is what will transform the city. But so often, we as the body of Christ, we don't have a real love for cities and nations, neighborhoods, family. The first step to city transformation is personal transformation. From personal transformation, the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the church, has got to be transformed. We have to be transformed. Okay, I'll take a break from beating you up, and let's talk about some announcements real quick. Tuesday is the multi-church hockey game. Finally is among us. We will be there to root on Derek. You know, and the Mavericks. And then next Sunday at 6:30 p.m. Up north, if anybody would like to go, it's Renee and I will be ministering up there. And I always, it's Jim and Sharon Allen's place. They have a once, I forgot the details. But it's at 6:30 at the Radisson Clarion Hotel at the airport, if anybody is interested. Also, we have the Operation Love that's really being sponsored by several churches in Independence, but mainly led by Mount Washington Baptist Church. There's some flyers now out on the table if you would like those. And then we also have the Women's Conference, which is now the same weekend as Operation Love. So you women, if you have not signed up and would like to, is there still time for that? Is that good? There's information out there on the table for that as well. And I know that's always an awesome time when you get together. And that's in St. Louis, correct? St. Peter's? It's in one of those saint places over there. Okay. Turn to Romans chapter 12, would you? Romans chapter 12, we'll look here at verse 1. Romans 12, 1 says, therefore I urge you. He doesn't say, hey, you know, I kind of suggest to you guys, I think this might be a good thing. It would probably be helpful in your life. Not really necessary, but, you know. Yeah, consider it. Pray about it. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your life, your bodies, your whole life, as a living and holy sacrifice. I mean, that's a huge mouthful right there. Let's just think about that for a minute. My whole life, is it really a living sacrifice? You know, a death sacrifice is an incredible thing, but it's one act and it's over. But a living sacrifice goes on moment to moment, hour to hour, day by day, week by week, month by month. A living sacrifice. Acceptable to God. Which, however, I put the however in there, is your spiritual service of worship. See, that's what real worship is. It's not the song part of a time together. We call that worship, and that's part of worship, but that's not what worship is. Worship is a lifestyle of a living sacrifice to God that requires the death of the self-life. You know what I mean by that? The self-life, that's where I'm in charge and I rule and I live by my desires and my wants. I really did not even intend to go here this morning. I was like, I'm even feeling the intenseness of the message. And verse 2 says, and do not be conformed to this world. Do not be pressed or squeezed into the mold. You know, this shouldn't shock anybody, that most people out there, non-Christians, when they're asked about Christians in their life, that they say they don't see any noticeable difference between them and us by our lifestyles. And Jesus said, look, you are the light. You're the salt. What happens when salt loses its flavor? Society gets darker and darker. Corruption ensues. Do not be squeezed, pressed, molded into the mold of the world and the world system and what it says you should look like, dress like, smell like, taste like, act like. But be transformed. Does anybody remember what that word transformed is? It's the word metamorphosis. You are become changed into something other than that, the world. And we know what that is, to be changed into Christ's likeness, to become, to smell more like God, to taste more like God, to speak more like God, to act more like God, to be Christ-like. Now, when we become born again, this doesn't happen instantly. This is a transformation process. We go from faith to faith, glory to glory. We are to become more and more like Christ. He is our goal. Christ-likeness, unity with the Father. Yes. That's right. It's a transformation process is to be transformed from the inward out. When you're born again, the seed of God is on the inside of you. All of the potential and the DNA to be Christ-like is there. To be transformed, and it's a process we hook up with God, and it's by His power and His word. And here it tells us, be transformed how? By the renewing of our mind, changing the way we think. It is so critical to change the way we think. You know, I hear all the time, and I have the same issue, that, and it's not about just reading your Bible. It's about getting the Word of God on the inside. And you know what? During your day, you might have, I've had many times where God, I might have been reading, or maybe God has spoken just one word, and I've just meditated and chewed on that one word all day long. And you know what's amazing about that? The Lord begins to show me how that actually plays and is functionable in real life. Or maybe it's a verse or a sentence. But it's constantly being aware of God at all times. Constantly getting His word on it. You know, the Bible says to pray at all times without ceasing. Turn your inner conversations. We all talk to ourselves during the day. When I was a motorcycle mechanic, there were many times I just couldn't figure things out. And because of that, that drove me to ask God. And before long, it was like, how about I just ask God and talk to God while I'm working? Instead of always asking Him for the solution to my problem, which He's faithful to show and to give, but He's not there just for that. He's there for relationship and getting to know. He wants to speak. He wants to whisper things in our ear that He's not told anybody else before. He wants to speak our particular language. He wants you to know how pleased He is with who you are, who He created you to be, to show you things to come. Speak things deep into your heart. You know, just one word. You can get a glance from God in the Spirit. You know what I mean by that? Where you just know He just looked your way, and it can change your whole life. I remember, you know, and I've told you guys this many, many times, when he spoke to me about being a youth pastor and I was riding my motorcycle on Truman Road, I was getting ready to cross the bridge over there, forgot now where it is, almost to I-435, and I had my full face helmet on and my shield down over my face, and he just spoke this into my life. He just said, be yourself. And I remember those two words. I started crying. It was like, it's completely set me free. Just those two words. God spoke them. And you know, when you speak what God says to speak to someone, it has the same effect. It can just change your life. Things that maybe you've been struggling with, and I did. I struggled with who I was my whole life until that point. Trying to fit into this and trying to fit into that. In high school, I was just labeled a freak. I wasn't a cowboy nor a jock any longer. They kicked me out because I was too freaky, I guess. I never felt like I fit in anywhere. Became a Christian, didn't know what am I supposed to do? Cut my hair, wear different clothes now? And I did those kinds of things. What kind of Bible do I get? You know, you want to fit in with the club. Never really comfortable. Looking at others and saying, you know what, I can't do that. God called me into ministry, I can't speak like he speaks. I stumble all over myself. I can't even get my thoughts right. I can't do that. I'm not gifted like this. This is hitting home. I don't measure. God said, you know what, I'm not calling you to be him or her or that or this. I'm calling you to be you. And for me to function and flow through you is unique. Nobody else on the planet will be just like that. Man, it just freed me to know who I really was. See, that's such a big issue. We don't really know who we really are in God's sight. We really don't. If we did, we'd be thinking differently, speaking differently, and acting differently. But we live too much out of a deficit mode, always needing more. And it's not wrong to need. I mean, we're always going to be needing. I mean, we always need God. Always will. But what does it say? Do not be pressed into a mold of this world, what it looks like, but be transformed. Take on that transformation from the inside out. If you're born again, and I hope you are in this room, if you've been born again, that seed of who God is, John 2 says that God's DNA, it's the Greek word there, it's sperma. For God's seed, it's sperma. God's sperm is on the inside of you. You are no longer a sinner saved by grace. You were a sinner, but have been saved by grace. You are no longer identified with being a sinner. Nowhere in the Word of God does God call his children that have been genuinely born again a sinner, except when, and there is a place in John, when somebody has fallen into sin and has not repented. They step back into a sinful state and actually take on that type not definition, but description of who they are. Persona, that's good. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, changing the way that we think. It's living out the values of the Sermon on the Mount. It is the grace of God, which is the power of God, the enablement of God that helps me to walk holy and righteous. God doesn't expect you to do that on your own. He gives you his grace. Every time we just say, we operate in faith, we just trust God and begin to move out his grace. Is that you don't even have to pray for the grace. You don't have to ask God for the grace. There's too much of a slave mentality in the body of Christ. I was talking, or actually I heard this guy talk about, he had adopted two kids, two very young, I forgot the ages, like 3 or 4, I think is the age, maybe 5, adopted two kids from an orphanage in Peru. He and his wife flew down there and got them, and he's had them now for, I think, 5 or 6 years. And he was talking about an orphan spirit. He said, I've never realized that, but we're still dealing with these kids because they have been separated from their parents, maybe rejected by their parents, that they carry with them an orphan-type spirit, and what they have done, not knowingly, but it was just because of that spirit operating in them, is they learn to get what they need by manipulation. by control, by doing certain things to stand out in the crowd. He said, when I walked into the orphanage, that orphanage, and we were going to adopt, he said, there were kids saying, pick me, and doing and acting differently to get our attention. When he said that, I went, oh my gosh. That functions in the body of Christ, and it should not be so. There's not to be a slave mentality, an orphan spirit in the body of Christ. Trying to posture and manipulate and trying to get God to do this for us and God to do that for us. Treating him like a genie in the bottle. They're just a... Do you understand what I'm saying there? But to know who we really, really are, that he's birthed us. His spirit is on the inside of us. He created, even just human being without being born again, is created in their makeup in his image, according to his likeness, to display who he really is. And when we become born again and get a brand new spirit, not the old one and the new one playing together in there fighting and warring, but when we get a brand new spirit on the inside of us, all of that potential, I'm going to say it for the third or fourth time, all of the potential is in us to be like he is in character. I had this gross image earlier. I wanted to get one, just a head. You know, you ever seen a head, maybe somebody that is a hairdresser and they work with just the head part, or maybe in a shop or something, it's just the head. I mean, that's how we view a lot of times the body of Christ. It's just the head. The head is the most, it is everything. The head being Jesus, by the way. Jesus showed this for me personally. He said, I can't do anything by myself. I'm the head, but I can't walk on the earth by myself. I can't use my hand, because you're the body. See, we're not beautiful by self. We're beautiful together as body. Maybe it didn't hit you like it hit me, but that we are part of him. Come on, we've got to stop. If we don't see ourselves this way, we're never going to bring transformation to anything, much less ourselves. And seeing ourselves as God sees us, what God says about us. And how does that begin? We've got to renew our minds. We've got to stop watching all of the commercials and the TV shows that put down manhood, make us look stupid, make us look like animals. All we want to do is have sex with one another and drink and party and hang out and all of these things. We've got to stop feeding ourselves. And I'm not saying, you know, stop watching TV. I'm not that radical. But stop feeding ourselves with that and then wonder why we have a hard time understanding what God says we are. And the kids at school, and they do this and they do that and stop seeing because of the need so much to fit in with the crowd. See, if we get fit in with his heavenly crowd, we will lose that feeling of having to fit in with every other crowd of this world. Therefore, by being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Let me tell you something. I'm honest. I'm going to be complete. I've been as honest as I possibly can anyway, but when you have it in your heart that you fit in with God, you know what I mean by that? When you fit in with God, it doesn't matter anymore. It really doesn't. It does not matter what others think or feel about you. It really doesn't. The Bible says that Jesus, when he went around, he had to say things. You see, if we're going to be a prophetic people, an apostolic people, then we're going to have to say things and do things that aren't going to make friends with even our brothers. And if we don't have this settled in our heart, we're going to be men pleasers, and we're going to hinder what God has to say or what God wants to do because we want to fit in and be accepted. Bible says Jesus looked for no man for approval, none. He didn't care who followed him anymore. I mean, obviously, he wanted the 12 to follow him, but you remember when he told everybody, he said, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, and the disciples, many of them, not the 12, but many of them began to leave. He turned to his 12 and said, do you want to go too? Jesus was resolute. He was going on with the Father regardless of who went and who didn't go. He was living Romans 12:2 and 12:1. My life is a living sacrifice unto my God, and he showed us how to do this thing. There are to be no slaves. Can you imagine this? Picture heaven. And some of us are going to be slaves. Is that a good picture? Is that an accurate picture of what heaven is? Now, when we've come into sonship with God, and we know we are sons, then it is by choice we become a bond servant. A bond servant is becoming a slave or a servant of God by choice, not by force. Therefore, the way we pray is going to change. We're going to stop begging God to do things for us and give us things he's already given us. Our priority must be Matthew 6:33. Jesus is the one that said it. It's not just, you know, New Covenant Creed here. Jesus said it. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We've got to make that shift. We've got to begin really to truly renew our mind. We may have to just be so radical. Holy Spirit, just convict me during the day if I step outside of this. If I begin to say something that doesn't line up with you, convict my heart. Arrest my heart. Show me. If I begin to think something that is impure, arrest me in that moment. Learn to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Because I want to think like you think. I want to look at people and see them the way you see them. I don't want to recognize them by the flesh anymore, but by the Spirit only. I want to speak into people's lives their destiny. I want to speak into them life and hope and healing and restoration and redemption. And no longer speak into them curses. The kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God as the king of the kingdom in our life. This is what I would like to do until you're done. Is I would like to get into some small groups this morning of no more, absolutely no more than 6 people, okay? So if you see a group that's, you know, I think 4 or 5 would be best, but absolutely no more than 6. And we're going to put up here, Becca, if you would put up the, is she aware of that, what the prayer points? That we want to pray for. There are a few things here. We're going to pray for Libya and Japan. And then also if there's any personal healing. When I say healing too, I don't always mean physical. Okay, if there's some healing in any issue, emotional,